I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorances Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots! Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed, the podcast that attempts to overcome ignorance, mostly by asking ignorant questions. With me, Jessica Michelle Singleton, JMS, if you're lazy or just because, I don't know. I'm a stand-up comedian living in Los Angeles. I also am an idiot, and that's why we're here. Because to some extent, we're all idiots, and that is okay. If you are new, first of all, welcome. Thank you for giving the podcast a shot.
please take a second, hit that subscribe button. Once you listen, I would love for you to leave a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps other people find the podcast so they can learn answers to their ignorant questions. And I won't lie to you, it does make me feel nice reading positive reviews. So a little bit for my ego, I can admit that, but also to help other people find us. We're spreading out. Last week, we reached the top 25, 26, top 50. I don't remember the exact number. Nearly 25. But I think it was 26. Anyways, on the charts in Greece, which is rad. Hello to anyone who's Greek and listening. I wish I knew how to say something in Greek. That would be cool, but I don't. Would love to come visit you guys, though. I would love to trend other places, less for my ego and more because that means more people are getting more information, and that's exciting. And thank you to so much for everyone who has been subscribed, who left a review a long time ago. I am thankful for all of you. I'm especially thankful for my best idiots forever, Gene and Kathy, over on Patreon. Those are top tier level patrons. There's patrons at all levels starting at $1 a month. For as little as $1 a month, you get full length unedited episodes with no ads up top. You get stand-up clips. I'm going to start dropping full-length video versions for bonus content. We do hangouts. I send cards and postcards. It's just, I think, a fun time over there. It seems like the people engaged are having a fun time. And this podcast and my other podcast are my two main focuses this year. It's all about movement and momentum for me with my podcasts. Isn't that right, Moki, who's trying to growl at the door? Quiet. Quiet, Moki. And Moki will be here alongside us, as always, barking and growling and just showing her general disdain for anyone who's not me or my boyfriend or our other dog. Anyway, yeah, that's that about the Patreon. I'd love to see you over there. That's where I'm putting the stand-up clips exclusively. And as I said, really trying to grow things. And I am grateful to everyone who's giving support over there. You know, this year, it's a new year, but the past year has been very weird. Stand-up came to basically a screeching halt, and I am grateful that I had this as a small source of income. Would love to grow it. The more I grow this, the more I can put my energy and focus directly into this. What I like about podcasts and what I've seen some of my friends in the comedy world do through theirs is really take control of their own careers. There's sort of this gatekeeper situation with the normal entertainment industry. You know, you need a manager and an agent to get you a meeting with the person at the network who decides whether they like you, usually based on some arbitrary box that they're checking rather than whether or not you're good. Not to say that people who they like aren't good or are. It's just there's so much not in your control is the point. And this is something I can control, and I aspire to make it something that people would like to support. So also always welcome feedback. If you have feedback on the podcast, things you'd like to hear more of, less of, head over to the Facebook group. That is the best way to get feedback because I do interact there and check it. It's a private Facebook group over on Facebook called Ignorance is Hashtag Blessed Idiots. Just request to join and it will ask you a question and just mention that you are a fan or heard about it through the podcast. And then you're in and you can start conversations. You can ask your ignorant questions that maybe you're like, hey, I'm afraid if I ask this, someone will think I'm stupid or a bigot, but I am not. I just don't understand this one thing about this thing I heard. Can we start a dialogue about it? That's okay over there. That's like, I think progress comes through learning and engagement, not telling people why they're wrong. And that's been the root of this podcast the whole time. So I'd love to have you over there. I don't have an official sponsor for the podcast, but you may have heard a commercial before the intro began, and I would like to, as always, shout out NeuroGum for making this podcast possible. It's gum with B vitamins and L-theanine that gives me focused energy, and it can help you if you're someone with a little ADHD, a little bit of a scatterbrain. Thank you to everyone, by the way, who's been ordering using my code. I see those, you know, numbers come in, and I really appreciate how much you guys are trying this, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who are enjoying it. And some people, it's not for, you know, but I would love, if that's something you're trying to do more of this year, focus and put your energy into things that, you know, you love, give it a try. Go to getneuro.com/JMS to get 15% off. That's GETNEURO.com/JMS. And starting this year, the Talktor is in, motherfuckers. That's right. I took one online course in cognitive behavioral therapy practitioner ring, and now I'm starting an advice segment, possibly. I'm stocking up on voicemails and text messages, and we are going to bring that into the show soon. So if you would like advice on something from an ignorant person like me, you're ignorant, unqualified, unlicensed therapy, basically, you can leave a voicemail or a text message. You just got to call 424-279-4525. That's me. That's how to reach me. Leave a voicemail, leave a text. We will bring it onto the show and grow that segment should that be of interest. I'm also taking some other courses that will help me in my advice there, but I'll, you know, keep it light and also give some like silly advice with anything and constantly remind you that I am not a professional. However, if you are interested in a professional, I always put a link to BetterHelp in the show notes. So if you're looking for someone you can telecommunicate to and you don't have insurance, check that out. It's, you know, doctors you can call from your phone and FaceTime from your phone and never have to leave your house. And they'll pretty reasonable prices without insurance from what I've seen. So that's there if you want actual mental health help. Good God. Get it from a professional, whether there or somewhere else. But, you know, holler at me at haha794525 if you like to use the letters on your keypad. Enough about me. My God, I talk far too much. Wow, what an intro. This is so long. Listen, let's get to our guest. Saum Eskandani is, first of all, the brand new producer for this year. And we were talking about the podcast and the changes we're making. But we go into a little of his life and his last year and how he made some changes for his own personal care and how he's invested in himself. And you know what? I wasn't sure where the conversation would go, but the conversation gave way to some really cool insights that he pulled from his experience as a poker player. And it was very interesting how much he's able to weave poker knowledge into general life experience. I think you guys will like it. And I love him. Let me know what you guys think. Enjoy this episode. And it gets cut off at an hour. So if you want the rest, that's what the Patreon's for. For as little as a dollar a month, you can get the full length episode. So go over there. But you got a great hour coming your way with Saum Eskandani. Enjoy. Hey, idiots. Welcome back to Ignorance is Bliss. It's a brand new year and almost nothing has changed, but we're here. I'm here with my amazing friend, but also brought on to help me with the production of this little fucking nightmare rodeo you guys keep tuning into, Saum Eskandani. Hi, Saum.
I will be fighting for you to stop calling your beautiful listeners idiots.
All right, for the record, and in case anyone who listens is like, yeah, that's the part that I've kind of never liked. It's, first of all, we're all idiots.
That's, you know, that's Socrates, man. It's like, just admit that you don't know.
That we know nothing, which is the whole premise of this podcast. But also, I think it's weird when I know people who have just come up with names for their, like, fans. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, the fans, if they want to create a name, you know, the Beehive wants to name itself, but it's people who are not Beyonce, which is much different. And I don't think Beyonce named the Beehive. They just appeared.
Very quickly, I forgot to roll my audition. Are you rolling your recording?
I am, but we can.
That's all right. I'll pull the Zoom audio. And I'll do my job as a producer. And
he's
I
off
will
to a great
grab.
You're fired.
Safety audio, which I'm recording because dumb people like me sometimes forget to do the technical stuff.
Usually,
and that's
me.
That's why producers plan backups.
Yes. See, you guys, things are gonna get a lot better because I don't plan backups, and there have been episodes where I go, well, the audio's just ruined, so you guys can just imagine what the conversation was like. It was great. Yeah, but we're just going to talk about, well, first of all, let's get to know you a little bit. I feel like, for those of you who don't listen to my other podcast, Two Filthy Nerds, Saum has been producing and making it amazing over there. And
since I came in for book 5 of Harry Potter.
Yeah. like late in the Harry Potter game. He was
and
like,
I'm not gonna lie, I was binging 1 through 4, and every now and then I'd be like, oh, this would just be so much better if I produce it.
So confident. And
it's like, this content is great. It's got to sound a little bit better.
I mean, in the defense of our podcast, it's not in the defense of it, that it would have sounded better if a turd came to life and produced it. I think anyone who listens to anything I put out knows I'm not a great audio engineer. And frankly, I sometimes get a little lazy with the editing.
I feel like you've learned a great deal since we... Yeah. Focus some attention on it.
Yeah, you've helped me.
It's funny how when you focus attention on things, you can get better at them.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, shout out to NeuroGum for helping me focus my attention on. Sorry.
You've talked about that before a long time ago.
Yeah.
Vitamin B. What is it?
I plug it, by the way. So everyone who heard the intro of this podcast hears it every week and they're annoyed by it. They're not an official sponsor. But I always say it's brought to you by NeuroGum because I usually chew it to like get my
very Joe Rogan-y, very like, he's I've the got one. These 9 potions.
He's the one who let me try it. We're in the backstage of the Comedy Store.
That's called a good read in poker.
I mean, he's like, so you're going to love this.
I got a solid read on that.
Well, it's not like he gets commission for me chewing it, but like if he did, he doesn't need more money. He's fine. But
he's fine.
It's B vitamins and L-theanine, which is a nootropic that I don't understand how they work, but there's a lot of bros who are like, oh, nootropics, whatever. But however it reacts with your brain, it gives you like a calm focus. And since I have ADHD.
That's what my weed is for.
It's just everyone has their thing that works for them. And mine's also Adderall since that got prescribed. That has changed my 2020. Doing it very lightly, and I'm still afraid to do it because I don't want to become one of those Adderall people. Even though it's prescribed to me, I still am afraid I'm going to become some sort of weird methed out, like, I need my Adderall.
Madhead.
But I love the gum. I've gotten a lot of messages from other people who tried it, who loved it, but then a few people think it tastes chemically. So it's worth a try. Use the code was in the intro.
The gum full of chemicals? Chemically?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, it's all natural shit, but I'm sure it doesn't. Andy
Does it come
loves
in, like, it. Flavors? Does it come in like spearmint and cinnamon?
They have mint and they have cinnamon. So, not a ton
of. Are there any other gum flavors besides mint and cinnamon?
Fruit stripes. Remember those? Do those still exist?
Yeah, but that's, if you call that flavor, it's like a 30 second burst of sugar coating.
Yeah, or like watermelon bubble yum.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Remember when gum
was a thing?
Was like the it vice when you were a kid. Like,
that was our cigarettes.
You just put a wad, like 6 sticks of gum. Like you just needed the flavor.
You could tell who was going to grow up to be an addict if you really think about the gum chewers. I just need my fix, my double mint.
Because if you bought a Fruit Stripes, let's be clear. I don't think there's anyone listening to this who bought a pack of Fruit Stripes and did not chew the entire pack of Fruit Stripes. Immediately, those flavors didn't last that long.
Yeah, so you're just shoveling it in, and then you're like, "Look, the wrapper's kind of a tattoo, wasn't that Fruit Stripes?"
Oh,
where it
yeah,
was like
yeah.
A shitty tattoo, where it's like, "Oh, we're all." I mean, cut to years later, how many of those people are like addicted to Nicorette and covered in actually bad tattoo choices? Probably a lot of us. I don't. Somehow never got into
capitalist
smoking.
Conditioning. Mm.
They got to start them young. That's why they had to make laws banning things like Joe Camel, like cartoon cigarettes and shit.
The Flintstones used to sell cigarettes. If you've never listened to the commercials of the Flintstones voices doing cigarette commercials, like back then, like remember that episode of I Love Lucy where she's doing like the live commercials? Like
oh,
they used to do back in the 50s, where like you would
be
in the same studio. It would just the camera would cut and you'd be at the advertising set. And it's like the Flintstones doing that in their voices, selling cigarettes to children. Like, oh my God. Not to children, selling cigarettes to everybody.
To adults, but kids are like, the Flintstones.
By the way, one of my favorite moments of pandemic is HBO has all the old Flintstones, and I just clicked one at random. And in the episode, it was like, Fred's trying to get out of going to the zoo, and he's like, we can't go to the zoo. I heard there's a virus going around the zoo. And Mom just goes, well, then we'll wear a mask. Good night.
Oh my God. Like Wilma nothing. For the win.
Like a caveman in the 60s is like, oh, are people sick? Well, just put on a mask. Duh.
It's, yeah, a cave, literally bed. So easy, a caveman can do it. And yet.
Pay us, Geico.
Yeah. And yet, here we are with this being a political war. We don't need to get too deep into that because I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to pull it.
No, I'm sure I will exhaust people all year going like, and wear your fucking mask, like I have continued to. But
if people are getting to know me, that is. That's part of the get to know me.
Yeah. Psalm will come down on you with a wrath if you are out partying, if you're without your masks.
Yeah.
He is not going to stand for it.
I bring knives to logic fights. Logic knives.
Logic knives.
I bring logic knives.
And then there's people who's like, I bring a gun to a logic fight and it's just a regular gun. Like, yeah. Okay, well, yeah. That's America. Okay, well.
Oh, boy.
I mean, obviously last year was crazy. You jumped on board, but you came on board to produce a podcast because you left what had been your career for a long time.
Yeah, it was a decision that it helped that like all of my former careers sort of, no matter where I would have turned.
Were kind of dead.
They were all shut down. Yeah, I couldn't go back to theater.
An amazing singer, amazing performer, by the way. He's very modest, but I'm telling you now. I keep trying to pester him to put out albums or something, like start a YouTube.
Nobody needs a new up and coming 37-year-old half white.
You know what who does need it? All of the other all the Iranians, Iranian Americans need you. Gay Iranian Americans need you to be their icon.
If I could sing in Farsi, I might step up to that calling. But
I feel like you could learn that in a week.
Or was it Selena? Isn't that part of the Selena story? Like she didn't speak Spanish, but they made her record songs in Spanish.
Yeah, so and she blew up. Look at that. Learn Farsi.
I guess I should learn Farsi. I mean, I'm in LA, so
we could at least like translate a popular song and do that.
Yeah. But yeah, I took the opportunity to like walk away from all of my half jobs.
Yeah.
Theater I cared about. Poker was more of a family connection. And
yeah. So for those listening.
I liked the people. I didn't necessarily like the work.
The work. Okay. So he was like an associate producer for World Series of Poker.
Sure. Yeah.
Wearing a lot of hats over there.
I was a Swiss Army producer. Yeah. Yeah. I would sit in whatever chair was empty and they knew I wouldn't fuck it up.
Yeah.
We could swear on this podcast, right?
Yeah. Oh, please. Please swear on this podcast. Yes. That's the whole point of podcasts. Fuck you, FCC. You can't stop me unless you want to hire me for a radio show and then I can clean it up. I'm just kidding. I'll never clean it up unless you want me
I would say like the closest chair that I sat in to podcast producing was talent producing. So like we were doing poker, which is kind of like live sports. We were semi-live. We were like a half hour delayed, but it was like doing the news or doing a live sports broadcast or a morning show.
Pretty quick turnaround.
And I would produce the commentator's booth often, which is very similar to like what I do with you guys on your other podcasts.
It's absolutely.
Keep it rolling. Make sure we're hitting our marks. Make sure we're hitting our breaks. Make sure we're saying the things that we need to say. And
shut us the fuck up.
Yeah. And we got to move on.
It's time.
We need a commercial. Let's go.
Oh, should we build breaks into this?
Yeah.
We're planning the podcast in the middle of recording the podcast.
We're about 10 minutes in, so in like 5 minutes, we could probably use a break.
That's right. This is the year, guys.
I'll tell and produce myself.
We could just do a half an hour break and just put one in the middle and probably like, this is the year maybe I start getting ads.
You're the executive producer. Yeah. Here. We'll do a half hour.
Let's do half an hour and let's, you know, start small. Oh God, what was that? That was like a deep-throated laugh. Well, that's interesting because, I mean, first of all, it's evident that whatever you were doing provided you a lot of knowledge to transfer over because you came in. When you were like, hey, I would love to help out, I was like, first of all, honored because A, because you're amazing, but B, because I'm like, you know, like we ain't got like money.
Yeah, but I like working with you guys.
Yeah, well, we love working with you. Well, I don't want to speak on behalf of Nicole. I'm sure she does.
It really came out of, you know, your boyfriend, Andy, who I've known Andy longer than I've known you, but now that I know you, I've told Andy, I'm like, you know, I pick Jessica. This all goes down. What's the Larry David? I'm going with Cheryl, Larry. I just need you to know I'm going with Cheryl.
I'm going with Cheryl. I'm honored. Thank you.
But I was helping them do like a
game
for their old band, a game show. And it was like, I hadn't quit poker, but poker was just not happening.
Cause it's kind of dwindling.
There's nothing 2020. We could play live. And it was during, it would have been World Series of Poker, which would have been like our busiest season of the year.
So you're kind of like, I'm like so tied up and now I have a weird amount of free time.
And since I know nobody who listens to that, who knew me from that, will listen to this, I will say, not a lot of faith in me over in Pokerland that I could like do some of the higher up producing jobs. And I was like, no, I'm going to design a game show from scratch and I'm going to produce it from two machines in my room and I'm going to do it by myself because I have done all of these jobs before.
You killed that.
I brought you on to help us write.
Which was great. Write
game show questions. And I just adored working with you. I would work with you for free.
I only brought you on for
people that I don't like for money.
I only wanted you here for praise. No, I mean, when you find people you can work with, and I feel like, I mean, that's the ideal. You hope to like, whatever your livelihood is, get to work with people that you're like,
There's a reason Helena Bonham Carter is in every Tim Burton movie. Well, besides that they're married. But, you know, there's reasons directors always have the same actors.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio.
You work well with people, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm excited to work with you. I know it's going to be a good product. I know we're going to have fun. And that's why I was like, look, this podcast doesn't really have a budget. Will you help me for a small amount of money? Make it
better. I came to you. Let's be clear. I didn't.
Oh, I meant this podcast.
Yeah.
No. The Two Filthy Nerds. I was like, yeah, we have nothing. Do you know that? Like, well, because there's this. I think sometimes, not even sometimes, people can create a false perception of how well you're doing based on XYZ.
Dress for the job you want, like fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Absolutely. I think there are people who, I'm sure there's a lot of people in my hometown who probably think I'm rich because I have had an album that went to number one on iTunes, but like have a bunch of social media followers relative to them. And it's like,
I remember sort of as a side tangent, whenever you say that, like, I remember during the writer's strike back when like reality TV became a thing, whenever that writer's strike,
oh, fuck, they were like the big one. Yeah.
It was someone, I think it was Seth MacFarlane. It was someone from Family Guy who came out and he was like, I don't think you guys understand. Writers are not rich. Like, these are not wealthy people.
Yeah, it's not rich people going, can I have more money?
But it's like, what do you mean you're not rich? You work on Family Guy. You work on blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I work on, I don't own it.
Yeah, you get a living wage. Like,
yeah.
What most writers make.
Like a union minimum wage.
Yeah, which is like, oh, and the other thing is if you took that wage, if you isolated that wage and put it in, you know, bumfuck Ohio, yeah, you're making a pretty good living. In LA, you're making a living. You're probably you can be relatively comfortable depending on your life choices. But you're not like, oh, my brand new Mercedes. And
New York, I don't know why I said Mercedes. When I was working off-Broadway in New York, I mean, off-Broadway minimum, depending on the size of the theater or the sort of tier, because even off Broadway sort of gets broken up into tiers within the union. I mean, $500 a week.
Yeah.
To do eight shows a week. You could be making $500 a week to live in New York City.
Which is nothing.
Crazy. But you're on Broadway World and you're on Playbill and
you're living your dream.
Tweeting about how great your show is and the reviews are fantastic. And
and that's how Broadway thrives, is because it's a dream and you go, that's fine.
We love it. Yeah, we'll do it for
nothing. Suffering for my dream. And that's been the hardest part for me in LA, is that like LA prices to me are high, but I was always like, well, it's fine when I'm struggling, but getting to live my dream. But for the last nearly year now,
it was kind of the opposite with me for poker. It was the first time I'd had money and I was like, well, I don't like it, but boy, I like being out of debt.
But yeah, boy, is it nice to like not
but
go
then
to the
money
store
went away, and it was like, well, I'm not gonna, you know, show up for 4 hours a week to do something that I don't really enjoy for not much
money. For not much money. Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's, I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen the meme for the like hot, crazy scale, like the hot where it's like, no. There's like, it's, I think it's just hot girls. I don't know if it's just hot people, but it's like, the it's like this graph
the hotter
of how
they are, the crazier,
or that it's okay to be crazier depending on how hot you are.
Oh, you can get away with crazy.
And it's the same thing with like, it's like, yeah, I will do a job I hate for a certain amount of money right now when I'm making no money.
Yeah.
But like, I need that amount of, I'm not going to do it for less. I would rather
I'd
suffer.
Built up over like my last three or four years in the theater, I'd built up some debt. That yeah. I paid off in a year.
I can't believe you built up debt making $500 a week. You paid it off in a year from poker.
But I paid it off in a year doing poker.
Wow.
And it's what's funny is like that like 4 or 5 years of debt is the amount of debt I've accrued in this 1 year of COVID.
So let's
make this the best podcast in the world.
Yeah. You guys tell your friends about this podcast. Sam and I need to get out of debt. By the way,
I don't look hungry, but I am.
I love that. On that note, in a year where, you know, a lot of people are losing jobs, I mean, it's a pretty bold move to, even though you weren't making that money, much money, something you don't really like. How did you find the bravery to go, I'm going to step away from this, even though it's uncertain?
100% privilege. 100% me taking advantage of my privilege.
Oh.
I own property. I come from a family. And this was a family job. This was a family business that I sort of walked away from. That it's grown beyond.
It's not
no
a mom and pop
owned.
Shop. But
yeah, it's no longer family owned. When we started, it was family owned. And, you know, we
expanded,
we
made your
up.
Money.
Yeah, we moved up to the big leagues and things got shuffled around and I was never like a salaried employee, but it was very clear any time I ever wanted to work for this company, I would be able to work for them.
Yeah, there would always be a job.
And I did for I mean, my freshman year of college, the summer after my freshman year was my first show. Mm. It was my dad's first show. It was my first show. It was our first big poker show. And I, you know, not every show, but whenever I wasn't doing theater, and there were theater shows where I would fully say like, No, there's going to be poker on these dates. And if the show is still running, then that's when you replace me because I got to go make money at poker.
Yeah. Wow. That speaks volumes.
And, it was definitely me taking advantage of my privilege. And I justified that at the start by doing stuff for charity. So I was running like a charity bingo thing with family and friends. I was helping Andy do the charity game show where we were promoting, you know, at the time it was, I think our first episode was right when the George Floyd protest started and we pushed a week, but then we'd give out websites like you can donate here, you can donate here, you can donate here. And we'd give everybody a chance to soapbox. And, you know, I was like, what can I, you know, I'm not hurting like everybody else is hurting.
What can I do?
But I'm also not going to not take advantage of this moment to say like, we're shaking the Etch-a-Sketch and I can afford to do it. And
good for you.
Let's see what else. But it's not like I'm trying to be virtuous and say like everybody should have the bravery.
No, well, thank you for saying that.
Have a lot of money.
Because the thing is that there are a lot of people. Like I get a lot of like. First of all, I get an absurd amount of text-based Instagram posts in my Explore page, and they're all like therapy related, like anxiety, whatever. They're like inspirational quote type shit. There are a lot of people who I think position themselves, and obviously you're not doing this, but like as these like sort of, they're kind of influencers, but these like love and light and altruistic, you know, people who are like, talk about manifestation and the secret and how like, you know, if you own, you know, if you really want something and then it's like, yeah, they never tell you that their parents are paying all their bills. Like, they're not surviving off of someone buying their weird bracelet. Like, they have a trust fund. And it's like, fine.
It's not to say that there's no value in. I think when you ask, like, where did I find the bravery, I say I didn't. But I think people do find that bravery.
Absolutely.
Who are not in my position. And, you know, I come from the world of poker. I mean, theater and poker, but I grew up in poker. And, you know, it's even when you have the least amount of chips at the table, you're not out.
Oh, I love that.
You're not out.
No, I'm going to cry.
And you got to find your spot. And yeah, it's way easier to win when you have all the chips at the table and you can take some riskier moves and you can play some wider hands and you can get cute and you can, you know, you can bully people and pressure people and do all that. But just because you have the least amount of chips at the table doesn't mean you're out. But you do, you got to have, I can't think of another phrase, balls of steel. Like there are times when you are going to pull a bluff and you are going to do something really fucking brave and you got to have the
balls to back it up.
Chutzpah. Yeah. You got to have, you got to be able to back
it
up.
Yeah. No, you have to
And that to me is way more impressive to watch. Like when a chip leader, when the person who has the most chips, when the last nine people are in a poker tournament wins, that's not good TV to me.
No. I mean, we love an underdog.
And those, we always, when we would come into World Series of Poker and someone would have, there'd be nine players left and someone has 50% of the chips on the table. Guess who wins? That guy wins.
Yeah. So
but
you don't always win.
Every now and then, the guy who came in ninth place is sitting heads up against him. That is impressive as hell to watch. Like, that is like, you know, you just, like, that is not privilege. That is fucking bravery and skill. And there
and a little bit of luck,
right?
Now.
And a little bit of luck. Well, all of life is a little bit of luck.
Of course.
I mean, poker is a game where you don't know two things. You don't know what they have and you don't know what cards are going to come.
Yeah.
So, you know, you position yourself for as many positive outcomes as you can.
Yeah.
It
That's
doesn't
what
mean
success
they're majority
is.
Positive outcomes,
is like,
but you want to get the most positive
yeah,
outcomes.
Yeah, bravery and skill kind of meet luck perfectly.
Yeah. And I mean, I've always said poker is like the greatest metaphor, at least in a capitalist society, poker is one of the greatest metaphors for business, for life, for
yeah.
You know, just
no, what you just said was
what
amazing.
What move to make next?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and I agree, and I think we
but,
all.
But I definitely like. I don't like being. You know, I'm just going back to this. I'm so denying this description that started this whole tangent of like I was not the lowest stack at the table when I decided to make a crazy move. I had chips when I decided to make a crazy move.
The thing is like, that's okay. You're aware of that. And it's also like, I think there's something to be said about like, it's okay. Like, I think it'd be worse to have that privilege and not take advantage of it. Like, well, why not go for something
that
bigger?
That was a big part of it too.
Why not use
that
it to help people?
That was a big part of it too. You know, I had a boy who broke my heart once.
That motherfucker. If he's out there, I'll kill him.
But who described it that way? He's like, no. You have a responsibility. It's not just a privilege. It's you, when you're in that kind of position, you have a responsibility to do something mm-hmm. with it, not just survive to, you know, and he talked about it, even with my singing, he's like, you need to
share your gift with the world.
Yeah. But share it in a way. Look, if
make
if
a Farsi album,
about it, but if you feel guilty about it, then share it for charity or share it for whatever, like do what you need to do. But like, it's that, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily a phrase out of the Bible. I associate with the Bible is don't hide your light in a bushel.
I've never heard that phrase, but I like it.
We're all, I know it from Godspell, which is the theater version of the Bible.
Well, no, there's that phrase of like.
There's a line, when you hide your light in a bushel, it loses something kind of crucial is the way that they rhyme it. I'm sure that's not how it is.
I mean, there is this thing I've repeated, and I don't necessarily believe in like, this like Christian version of a God, though I was raised Catholic, but the idea of some type of higher power, greater power, the universe, what your talents are what the universe gave to you, and you sharing those talents are what you give to the universe. Like,
ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to cry. And I have heard that quote so many times. I just am very emotional this year. No, I love that. But I just love that you were like, look, yeah, I had a big hand at the table. I'm probably saying it wrong, but like, I have no problem with the fact that people, I used to have a problem with the fact that people just had a better situation. But I, after years of like work, I like got over the fact that like, yeah, some people got dealt a better hand.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's when people try to pretend they don't, maybe no one's doing that. I knew one girl. I'm just caught up on one Instagram influencer from five years ago.
I don't think anybody would deny that.
Well,
that
like,
there is that pull yourself up by your bootstraps crowd who doesn't appreciate that they drive on government funded roads, who doesn't appreciate that, et cetera. It's, you know, that's a very skewed degree of that person I'm talking about, but it's that same mentality. Of course that mentality exists.
No, of course. I mean, it's all, well, there's so many things across, you know, across the board.
But I've said the word trust fund baby more times than I can count in my life, because I don't want to get credit, like, you know, especially in theater where it's like, I mean, I don't want to turn this into a podcast about theater, because that industry is completely fucked. And there were so many talented people in New York, and talent wasn't enough even then, because you had to be able to live and pay and go into debt. And it's not a lucrative industry. And I saw some of the most talented people
give up because they couldn't survive.
Way more talented than me. Way more talented than me. Well, just go away. And I didn't share on social media. Like I never liked spouting my success in theater, because it always felt like bragging about privilege. Like I could do these shows that other people maybe couldn't afford to do.
Well, on one hand,
does that make me special? Like, well, no, I don't think it makes me special. It makes me lucky.
I don't think that is unique just to theater. I think especially in any arts field, I think you would be hard pressed, and not that they don't exist, but anyone who has like really risen up or is actively working within any type of like acting, stand-up comedy, musicians, I'm sure there's a lot more that at least came from a position where they had enough money that they could be okay not making money for a while.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you have to struggle to survive and then extend your energy into, you know, your art, it's going to wear on you. And if it, depending on where you live, depending on the circumstances, eventually you're like, hey, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
I can't afford my rent.
I can't afford my rent.
Eat.
And then
I can't afford my sanity.
Oh, it's, you know. Yeah. And it's so sad that like, in my opinion, I've always thought that I'm like, I don't think we'll ever see the most talented people. Like some people have both and that's fine. But like there are people that we're going to miss.
And there's a danger, I think, in like, it's always good to praise when that happens.
Yeah.
When the most talented person who against all odds.
Yeah.
Against all odds. But it's also like, don't set that as
the expectation. The expectation.
I think it was on Freakonomics. I'm like a podcast junkie. And they were talking to, they were talking about LeBron James and the actual metrics of you know, what are the odds that you'll make it as a basketball player?
Yeah.
And ooh, LeBron James had got flack for saying something like, I don't know
the exact
sports
quote
that well, even though I've worked for ESPN more times than I can count. I just don't know sports. I don't know sports beyond poker. But he got flack after winning MVP or something.
Of course.
And he goes, you know, I was never supposed to be here. I was never supposed to be here. And there was a community of people who said, like, don't say that, because like, of course you are. Like, you are the success story. You are the kid from nothing who, and they went and broke it down and they're like, no.
He should say that.
If you want to be a basketball player, you need to be tall and rich, and that's about it. Because the majority of the people who make it to the NBA are tall and rich. And this guy came from not rich.
Yeah.
He was tall and he was talented.
Very talented.
I mean, tall, talented, and rich, obviously.
Arguably rich, some of them. If you're tall enough, you don't have to be that talented.
But rich is a factor. Rich is absolutely, you got to be able to afford the training. You got to be able to afford the college.
Yeah, they go to camps.
And
there's feeder high schools. So it's like, the odds of even getting seen in like a regular high school by some of these big league schools, they recruit from... It's bullshit.
But it was important to him to be like, no, that's not reality. The reality is not if you're talented and you work hard, you're going to make it.
No, he beat the odds.
Let's not pretend the world is fair in that way. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, I didn't know that happened. I think that like as much of a bummer as that is to hear, I think that's such an important message to go like, you could. Oh, no, I'm going to cry. No, I'm not. I'm fine. be the most talented. Whatever. But if you are not from a certain echelon of finances or depending on what you're doing, you know, just people in the right social circle, like you
know, the challenge in front of you.
Yeah.
Be honest about the challenge in front of you. You can manifest and you can have your secret.
You can use your crystals.
But
pray.
To me, it would be like playing poker and saying, you know, the flop comes out and I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to keep playing with the first two cards I got dealt. Well, but you're leaving half the reality on the board. You got to play within the realm of reality and acknowledging that, you know, you can't be ignorant of the given circumstance.
Yes. Well, no. And I think
to pull it back into ignorance is blessed. Like if you want to succeed at something, you can't come from a place of denial.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's important because just like you said, sometimes the person sitting at the end of the table is the guy who started with the least amount of chips. On the other hand, it's like sometimes you lose and you're out, and that doesn't mean you're not an extremely talented poker player. Sometimes it's you're also set up to lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you lose.
And on the flip side of that is also like, you know, people say poker is a game of luck. There's always a pro at the final table. And I'll tell you what, the World Series of Poker, 6,000 people play that game. And it's not by accident that there's always a pro at the final table because you also got to be good.
Yeah. It's not all luck.
And you got to get lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't all get luck. And like that sucks. But it's also, I think you're better prepared to move throughout your life if you grasp that realistically. Because it's like, yeah, you know, like we don't all.
And happier. I think you end up happier.
If you can learn to like let go of something.
You get frustrated by when the world doesn't confirm, consistently does not confirm your delusion.
Yeah. I mean, I agree completely. I think there's a lot to be said about your happiness being impacted by how well you are able to let go of the things that didn't go the way you wanted. You know, like just going, I really wish that would have worked out better, but what's my next plan? Where's the next move?
Yeah, that's part of it too.
And I also think that like we live in this culture where we're fed that like the dreams come true story or whatever, where I wish there was more of a narrative. They do.
But I'll tell you what, and I say this to people when they come to Vegas. I was never raised to gamble. I was never raised to put a quarter in a slot machine.
Wow.
Money on the blackjack table. We were taught to play poker.
Yeah.
Like my dad was a professional poker player.
Did he not look at that as gambling as much? Because it's like skill-based?
No, because there's skill and there is statistical return. You can look at the statistics and you can say, good players win, bad players don't. Period. Full stop. Science is there. It's all there. There are people who my dad made a career out of, but before we ever got behind a television camera, he raised two kids playing poker.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was who Kenny Rogers was talking about.
But he was good, and he would also not take the money and then go to the blackjack table, or take the money and go to the craps table, or take the money and go to the red table. But my point being, you know, when you look at Or I'll frame it in another story. I was in the Vegas airport,
yes.
Which, if you've never been, is just wall-to-wall slot machines.
Littered with slot
really,
machines.
I'm assuming, really low payouts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at casinos, they have to keep them relatively competitive. Like, you're not going to go to a casino if it's clear they have, like, a 53-47
yeah.
advantage on their slot machines. They'll try and keep it 51-49. They'll try and keep it competitive. At the airport, I assume your odds are just
it's like 99-1
at the casino. But there was this group of high school kids, I'm assuming a sports team or something. They were all traveling together with like a couple chaperones. And they had one of those giant, you know, the slot machines that are like 6 feet
tall. Oh, yeah. It's got the giant screen.
The reels
are
gigantic and
the
handle is gigantic. And these kids were all standing around looking at it. And this guy comes up and starts playing. And right off the bat.
Hits.
He hits something that the bells start going off and the cashier has to come over and confirm the win.
Oh,
and
my God.
I just looked at the kids and I was like, don't make the mistake of thinking
that that's likely.
That that's Vegas.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want you to focus on.
The winning.
They want you to focus on the one time you win so you don't focus on the nine times you lose.
Yeah.
And that is true, not just of gambling. That's true
in life.
Across the board, they want to accentuate the positive, which is, you know, it's not, again, it's not to say, like, don't not accentuate.
Yeah, no, definitely don't forget to celebrate your wins.
Yes, but don't celebrate your wins to the exclusion of your losses.
Yeah, don't negate the losses because that's what you learn from. That's how you get better
yes,
in life.
Exactly.
You can't do anything with a slot machine.
And in the
but...
case of casinos, it's like whenever someone says I hit a $10,000 jackpot, I'm like, well, how much did you lose last year?
Yeah.
Don't look at it like you're up. It's fine to have fun, but don't say I won $10,000 when you're $12,000 in the hole because you didn't. You lost $2,000. and deluding yourself in that way, you can have the fun. And be honest about it. You, both of those things can exist. But don't have the fun and then pretend that you're also winning.
No.
Because you're not.
You're not. Well, and it's like...
You're not.
Your life and your well-being is exponentially better if you can be... You can't improve if, like... You can't improve your situation if you can't be realistic about your situation. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just like, I'm killing it. And it's like, no, you are. It is really bad right now. And you like you need to be, I guess, present and self-aware enough to go.
I mean, it's that notion of like, I don't know, maybe this is inappropriate for me to talk about.
Never.
But you look at like African-American parents who have to have the talk with their kids.
Black.
About when the cops pull you over and about, look, this is the reality and it's a reality that you need to accept because if you don't accept this reality, the odds are against you.
Yeah.
Where you need to...
Like, you can't sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, and it's you know...
What a hard...
It's an uncomfortable reality and it's a very useful reality and it's a very useful ground floor from which to build success. They're not telling you that so that you don't succeed. They're telling you that so you have the best floor.
Yeah.
To continue to succeed, to continue to fucking live.
Yeah, which it sucks. In some instances. They shouldn't have to tell you that. That shouldn't be the case, but like...
Of course.
But then, the other but option of going...
Denying it doesn't get rid of it.
It sets you up for failure to just go like, well, I don't want to like make them scared of the world. I don't want to disappoint them by, you know, letting them know there's bad people out there. You're setting someone up for failure. And I think that across
the
board...
You gotta find a way to thread that needle. And it's not a fun, not always fun.
No,
but
of course not.
It's more productive.
Yeah. Well, and you set people up better. Like, yeah, I mean, general self-awareness and like, you know, sure, your overall delusional.
Situational.
Awareness, absolutely. Where it's like, you know, if you're not made aware of the things that would be hurdles in your life. I guess maybe you could live in a slightly elevated level of like delusional joy until they happen.
And you can keep winning. There are gamblers.
Maybe you just never lose and you're like.
Yeah, there are gamblers who are up.
But also that speaks to like, to circle back with like, the conversation about privilege and stuff. It's like, well, it's also, I think, important for people who are in a privileged position to know that, like, this isn't the norm for everybody. And you need to know that maybe you just keep getting lucky, but you need to understand, like, deeply that, like, well, it worked out for me doesn't mean it's going to work out for everyone. Because yeah.
And be grateful.
Yeah, because people who keep getting
lucky.
Be grateful
for luck.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ever moments in poker television, it was on like a summer live stream. It wasn't even on like the main, I don't think it was on our main ESPN. This guy just, you know, he hit his two outer. I mean, there's one card left to come and you're behind. And of the 44 cards left in the deck, only two will make you win.
Oh, whoa.
And he hit it. And that man fell to his knees and just thanked whatever his god was.
Wow.
I've never seen a celebration like that.
Because he knew.
He wasn't saying, look how good I am. Look how good I played.
He's like, it worked.
Being
I got lucky.
Thankful for how genuinely lucky he got in that moment. And that, to me, there's a reason that resonated. Because that's the right, you know,
that's
not
the right response.
Yeah, I knew I was going to hit that card. Oh, I'm the fucking best player at this table. It was like, no, I was in a bad spot and I got lucky.
I got so fucking lucky.
And I'm going to keep playing now. I have a responsibility now to play better. I got those chips. I didn't have them before. What's next?
What can I do with the chips I have?
Yeah, let's be grateful.
Oh my God.
Let's be thankful. Let's not pretend that was a skill move there.
Yeah,
I got trapped and I got out of the trap. Thank Jesus. And
yeah,
what's next?
Just now being honest.
Yeah. Now clear my head. That was lucky. That was fun. Back to the skill.
Absolutely. Like, and that keeps
back
you
to focusing my skill.
You know, that kept that guy. And like, as an example, like, don't delude yourself into thinking because you got lucky that you're better than XYZ. You know what I mean? That like, you know,
I got lucky. This will be the last thing about me.
This is about you. You're the guest.
Let's take a break. Well, we also need to introduce sort of, you know, what we're doing thematically.
Okay, we'll do about you, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk about the podcast.
This is more than I typically like to talk about myself.
Well, welcome to being a podcast guest, bitch.
But it's a humble brag. I'm going to do a humble brag for myself, which is I got really lucky when I was in New York, when I was doing theater, that a friend of mine had booked this concert at Carnegie Hall. And like a not her concert, but like a big concert.
Yeah.
This great company called I can't think of their name. We'll have to edit that. Distinguished Concerts International. That's what it was.
I was like so grateful.
I had a clause where anytime I had to talk about it, I have to mention their name, and I was like, oh no, I'm really bad at that shit. I don't do social media. I'm so sorry. But this Distinguished Concert International, who puts on these massive, massive concerts, and they fly in choirs from all over the world,
wow.
And they, you know, it's really cool. And they just couldn't find, they needed one guy who could do five different, wildly different songs. And they couldn't find anybody. And my friend happened to book the concert and happened to know me and happened to know that I was probably capable of doing all those songs and put me in touch with them. And I sent them a tape and blah, 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 blah. Never would I say, I worked really hard and I got to Carnegie Hall and I was auditioning for concerts and I was, no, man, I got fucking lucky.
No,
I got so
but you
lucky.
Also,
I was prepared. I was prepared for the luck to hit.
That's what it is.
Part of it too. But
that's
it's
success.
Also, but,
being prepared for luck.
But you can't deny, like, there were people who are really trying.
That they're like, that specific
to
thing.
To get there, to get in Carnegie Hall and sing in that space. And they don't get to do it. And they are not less talented than me.
Some
they
of them might
not,
be. You're very talented.
They are way harder working than me. And it's not to say that I'm not talented and I'm not hardworking, but you also need to acknowledge,
yeah.
Like, man, there was just a right place, right time, right person that fell in my lap.
Yeah.
And like, don't, let's not pretend, let's knock it out of the park when we get that shot, but let's also not
pretend that
pretend
didn't happen.
That I did that.
Yeah,
you know,
that I was
on
plucked,
my own,
plucked
that,
from obscurity
on my own, yeah,
by
from
Carnegie
my own
Hall.
Hard work. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's and so important because, like, you could be super talented and work really hard, and like sometimes there are people who that opportunity just never aligns.
And I'm so hashtag blessed.
Yeah, and we all it all comes together. Well, no, I think that's important because also knowing that is something that,
as a producer, that was a great moment for you to throw to a break. But
I know, but wait, I need to say one more thing because I talk too much. I think knowing that and keeping that reality close to you, especially if you are pursuing something that is, quote, a crazy dream, you know, that rarely works out for anybody, is that at the end of the day, if you didn't get the part, if you didn't book the show, or the, you know, the record company didn't pick you up, like,
so many,
you
times.
Can know that, like, I worked as hard as I could. I am talented. Today the lucky call didn't come in. Yeah. And that's okay.
But always leave it all on the table. Yeah. Always leave it all on the table.
It doesn't mean your art isn't amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sometimes, look, to flip that poker story around, the other guy, 44 of those 46 cards were going to make him a winner.
And he lost.
He just lost.
He just lost. It's not my day.
Didn't do anything wrong. He played better. He trapped him. He did everything right. And sometimes those two cards come out and you're fucked.
The river just washes away your dreams.
Look at you knowing it's called the river.
Look at me. I dabbled in some hold'em. I was in high school when that show, when World Series came on the air. All right.
Moneymaker was 2000. God, I should know that. That's so bad.
My parents had a pop-up, like, little round poker table. I knew hold'em, kind of, but I knew.
Texas hold'em?
Yeah. Is there other hold'em?
That's what most people. Yeah, I mean.
Montana hold'em?
Yeah, but Omaha hold'em.
Oh.
Parliament Omaha, high-low, like.
Whoa.
But Texas hold'em is what most
but I only
people
knew
consider poker on TV. It's the easiest game to film, which is actually sort of a happy, like, it's not necessarily the hardest or the best game. It's just the easiest to put on TV. It's the least amount of graphics.
And I think it's probably the easiest for, like, novices to understand. But I think I knew, you know, the technical rules. Yeah, I know which cards make the things, but, like, there's, I've started, like, you know, you and I started playing around in poker and you were teaching me some things. Like, there's skills that go way beyond what cards add up.
That's like understanding what piece does what on a chessboard.
Yeah.
You're not playing chess just because, you know, the knight moves in an L.
In an L, yeah, exactly.
that's not chess.
life. All right, we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back to tell you about the fun year ahead we have. All right, we're back. Let's talk about the show. All right, so we've got some fun new stuff coming in hot. First of all, if you haven't joined the Patreon, patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. I put up full length episodes, anything over an hour. Sorry to force this. I already put this in the intro, but I'm plugging it again.
I might actually get paid. So
stand up clips. I use a portion of it to pay Som. So please join. And also I tweeted this, and full disclosure, we are so far away from this number because you can join for as little as a dollar a month. But if we hit $1,500 a month, anything over that, I will automatically donate to charity for the entire year. And we'll adjust that as years go on and figure out what that means. But as a goal to, like, that's enough that I can pay some. I have money to pay my rent. I will give the rest away. So you could be helping charity if enough of you pay $1, $10, $25.
Oh, yeah. Make them feel guilty. Give them that
and
guilt.
And if you don't join, think of the children.
Won't somebody think of the children?
On my St. Jude's calendar that they keep sending me, though I've only donated $10 once 4 years ago.
All right, well, as your producer, I'm going to try and keep you in time for this episode, but let's talk about what we discuss. I'm all about streamlining and focusing and structuring. Yeah, especially coming from a venue as chaotic as poker, where you really have to look for the signal and the noise.
Yeah.
Like, how do you tell a story in a game that almost is inherently random? It's so much easier to do in podcast land.
Absolutely. So I think one big thing about this year that we're doing to kind of add a little more structure and give you, you know, specific things to look forward to, we're theming our months. So every month we'll have a theme. This episode arguably is a little off-center from our January theme of wellness, but I think we got in a lot of life lessons with the poker metaphors and like...
Well, I feel like we talked about wellness also in terms of change. Wellness absolutely. In terms of like what I did absolutely was an act of wellness to myself.
Just self-care.
In terms of I'm not happy doing X, Y, and Z. I'm gonna not do it. I'm gonna, this year gives me the opportunity to take a choose. Little, you know, the you know, they have that saying that it's, Japanese use the same word for crisis and opportunity.
Oh, wow. Like,
you never heard that?
No, that's incredible. Oh, yes,
same word. I don't know what the word is. I just know the phrase that they use the same word for crisis and opportunity. It just means,
oh, no.
It just means a not normal situation, which
you can frame.
You can't respond to normally. Yeah. So what do you do? It's an opportunity to react. It's an opportunity to react in a way that you wouldn't otherwise react on a
you wouldn't have
day.
The opportunity to react. Yeah.
And
that's...
I took that opportunity to exercise my privilege and find a little mental wellness.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's so important. And not to stir off of us talking about the overall format of the podcast, but really, if I could really quick, since it's within the theme, since we're on talking about it, is there anything specifically you're hoping to do for your own wellness this year? Any things you're looking forward to, things you would like to incorporate more of or less of?
Things I would like to incorporate more of or less of.
If I could, I mean, really I quick.
Just, yeah.
I saw something on Instagram the other day that I thought was really interesting, talking about instead of having resolutions, incorporating themes. And that really spoke to me because we're doing monthly themes, but going, okay, my theme for this year is movement. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to move my career. I'm moving. Or like, you know, serenity. Or is there like a theme you would like to bring into this year for your
interesting.
Own?
Interesting. I haven't thought bumps. About it that way, but I think circling back to what we were talking about, it's, I need to be a little bit bolder with my chips. Because I've got chips.
Got chips. You can
I've
make
got
moves.
Chips at a time where some people don't.
Yeah.
And you know, but also not looking at life like it's a knockout event.
No, but, you know, take advantage.
I'm not trying to knock people out. You know, my dad supported our family, his entire family, his brothers and sisters, my cousins, like everybody playing. But using his chip stack, you know?
Yeah,
he used his chip
literally.
Stack and yeah. And I absolutely want to do more of that. It'll be interesting to think of it that way. I've never thought of it that way. But
find ways to support the world around you with what you have.
With what I have.
Either
and,
charity,
and,
family.
But that means I got to play.
Yeah.
I can't just sit. You know, there are celebrities who quote unquote play poker. Some are really good, some are okay. We got to cover them when we get them just because it's, you know, it's
ratings.
But the biggest mistake I see them make is, you know, World Series Poker Main Event is like a 11-day event, good and God. They'll make it to day 5 or 6 with a healthy amount of chips, and then they freeze and they get blinded out, we call it. They just, little by little, it whittles away and whittles away and whittles away. And
wow.
They don't make any moves and they don't do anything crazy. And they are so shocked that they made it that far that they just try to survive to the next day. And that's the wrong move when you have
that's
chips.
What kills them.
Not try and survive to the next day. It's you keep spinning it up because it escalates.
Keep trying to win.
The world just escalates. Your cost escalates. Your, you know... To play each round of poker over a period of time costs more money.
Yeah.
So if you're not building as you go, you're going to fall behind no matter how many chips you think you have now. And I think that's advice I absolutely should give to myself, which is don't just sit on these. Don't just survive on these chips.
Yeah. Don't just play the fucking, what's that called? The buy-in? What is it? What are you?
The ante?
Don't just play the ante.
The
look at me trying to say things and not knowing... Ante up and then also bet a little.
Yeah, and don't just wait around for aces when you've got chips. You can go crazy. You can produce some free podcasts. You can diversify.
Until you get those aces.
Game show. Like, I'm trying to create a game show with Andy.
Yeah.
You know, which is all I stuff that's, it's costing. I'm not making money, but I can afford to do that. And look, if I create a game show and I can employ 8 of my friends, that's such a fucking win. Like, that's such a win.
I'm here to be a writer.
You absolutely are.
Well, no, that's my goal too, is like, if I could build something I have up to the point that it can be lucrative for people I like, especially people I like working with, if it's, you know, work related.
And new people, people I don't even know. People.
Yeah. Bring in new people, like create opportunity for others. Yeah. Oh, mwah.
Yeah.
That's.
And look, I think the entire world is shifting in terms of, you know, what businesses are going to have what share of the economy.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's going Bezos. Back. I don't think it's going back.
Yeah, you're done, coal miners. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really sort of crude specific version of what I'm... specific is whatever. But yes, I mean, that is the idea. And
it's like, what is growing? What so can like, I do knowing that?
So why not take your chips and start betting on this market and this market and this market and this market and see, like, our podcast is going to be the thing? Our game show is going to be the thing? Is live streaming going to be the thing? In terms of entertainment, like, I'm in the entertainment world. Obviously, if you're, you know, if you're a chef, do you need to start coming up with a more streamlined delivery system where you're not renting a restaurant, you're renting a kitchen.
Or you can just send out the recipe.
When I go now on my food apps, and I used to see this before, you would see multiple restaurants share an address. And it was because they weren't physical restaurants. I assume it was some kind of industrial kitchen.
Wow.
And they would all be cooking from that space, or it's one person
just making different menus.
Different, exactly. And it's like, look,
that's how you adapt.
That's using your chips and playing the game. That's smart. Not sitting on your chips and going, I have enough to survive for a little while. It's like, yeah, but what happens when you're done surviving? You're out.
And the restaurants still aren't allowed to have people in there or whatever.
You know, but that's a good, I sort of, I like that framing of it.
Play your chips.
To toot my own horn of what you just had me come up with.
No, that was great. I mean, I think that's a great metaphor for a lot of us.
That to me is so I'm not just sitting here spinning my wheels and going, woe is me, theater's not back. Woe is me, I don't want to go back to poker. I can't really work for ESPN because I don't know what LeBron James stats are.
No, I think that's a great metaphor, and I think it's a good... It's like, yeah, if you can afford to be bold, be bold. And if you can't, maybe turn it back on the boldness. I'm talking to myself. No, but...
Well, if you can afford to be bold...
Well, sometimes you have to, like, make one big, bold move, but... Just be aware, you know, play what you have.
I can't... To like, you know, I don't want to speak to a situation that I haven't experienced and adapted to. So I don't, you know,
Don't be afraid to play.
Experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't lose everything just surviving.
Yeah.
Like,
I know you're not out.
Well, yeah. But if you look at and not,
I can't tell you how to play. I just don't know. I've not lived it.
Well, and like, obviously life isn't a situation where only one person wins. But if the odds are, that like
one of
most...
my dad's biggest like feelings of not regret, but when he was just a poker player, there's always that notion of there are times inherently where that game is a I win, you lose game.
Yeah.
Where everybody can't win.
Yeah.
And there are industries where everybody can win. And he's sort of for himself, he turned poker into one of those industries where he turned it into TV, where now all of a sudden everybody that he works with wins. We all get paid. I always say, I joke, the only people guaranteed to make money at the World Series of Poker is our crew.
That's so funny. Well, but also, like, if you're in an industry that right now sustainably everybody can't win, and like you run the risk of if I just do survival mode may end up losing in the end anyway, maybe it's worth making the big bold move because that may change your circumstances.
That big Jim Carrey graduation speech where he talked about his dad. He said, I watched my dad fail at an industry that he didn't even like.
Yeah, I watched that.
You can fail at things you don't even like.
And it's like, why not fail at something you love?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, my heart.
But that to me, I mean, that is not wellness. That is absolutely part of the path to wellness.
No, absolutely. I think, you know.
How do you invest your time? How do you assess your situation? What is therapy other than like, let's talk about your given circumstance and figure out how to
work within it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, 10,000%. Like, I think that's a great goal. I think, you know, going like learning how to better utilize my circumstances and my time to enrich my life and the life of people around me. That's a great goal. I think that's a great thing to bring into.
You
got to
read the whole table before you can make a play.
You gotta know when to hold them. R.I.P.
That too.
We miss you, R.I.P. Kenny.
That was the funniest and saddest meme. Kenny Rogers dying in 2020 is the most know when to fold them thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh man, I got a good laugh out of that. It was sad though.
I mean, it's because it's painfully real. Is the truth that like I was trying to find. I'm combing through a completely disorganized notebook. I bought one of those.
Of our themes?
I bought one of those, like, you know, sectioned off notebooks thinking, you know, oh, I'll use each different section for different things. But I've just.
Foolish.
Not. I just am using different areas for no reason. I was trying to find our themes. But the point is, this year what we're going to do, you guys, is chunk in themes monthly. So.
It's going to help us look into the future and get really interesting guests.
Yeah, we'll be able to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And it may, you know, I understand that, like, it may keep us from getting certain types of guests this year because they just plainly don't fit into the theme. But that's okay because there's going to be another year. And if someone comes
across 7 billion people are all interesting. We can't have them all on the podcast.
Absolutely. Which, like, God help me. I could, if I could just ask every person, like, tell me about your life. Like,
there's some social media account of just like people of New York. There's
humans of New York.
Humans of New York. Yeah. And just take a picture and be like, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah. Oh, I found the page. Should I go over?
Sure.
Our themes now?
We're about an hour 5, so.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to wrap up this free episode. And if you want to hear what the themes are ahead of time.
Yeah.
Head over to Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Patreon.com. You can get this full episode. You can get every full episode unedited. Just raw, unfiltered. Usually, way before they release on the, like, as soon as we record, this drops in Patreon. But you guys are hearing it a week.
And I would say, patrons, once you hear that, don't be afraid to send people our way. If you see we're doing something and you're like, oh man, I know someone or I am someone who can speak to this topic.
Absolutely.
At us.
Yeah.
do at us.
Send them to Patreon. At least send them to the podcast to subscribe. And if you haven't already, hit subscribe. Leave a rating and a review.
Is do at me a thing? I know don't at me is a thing. Like, can we make
do at me?
Ignorance Blast be the do at me podcast? Like,
yes,
do at me.
Do at me.
At me on everything.
Tag Ignorance is Blessed everywhere you can. If you think someone posting would like this, if you know an episode they'd like, fuck yes.
Do at
share.
Me.
That can be a great New Year's thing too. Sharing the knowledge, sharing the wealth. Tell, even if it's not this podcast, if you're listening to this, you're likely someone who is a podcaster. You listen to podcasts. Tell someone who is your friend who you don't normally talk about podcasts with. Tell them about a podcast you like. Open them up to the world of podcasting. Some people are like, it's too, I don't understand. It's newfangled. Old people. But
it's radio. Least fangled.
But some people are like, I like my radio stations. I have Sirius XM. I understand podcasting. And it's like, that's not, no. Anyway, good riddance to all of the free. Good riddance. We'll see you next time if you're not going to the Patreon
All right, there you go. Sam Eskandani, producer of the year. Poker producer extraordinaire. Also fucking just great life advice. If you want to hear the themes for the month before everyone else hears them, head over to patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed and get in there. And questions for Sam, you want to hear more about him, more from him, hit us up in the Facebook group. That's Ignorance's hashtag Blessed Idiots. And if you like the podcast and you have not already, please mash that subscribe button, rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, and share it with your friends, because everybody's a little bit ignorant sometimes. Big, big thank you to John, Eric, Jean, Greg, Kathy, and Terry, exclusive members of the League of Extraordinary Idiots over on Patreon. I couldn't do this without you guys. Love seeing you. So grateful for the new year. I will be back in my own apartment soon. Maybe already be there by the time this drops. So we'll be back to our crappy hours where we hang out and more. And I am looking forward to that. And I will not plug the Patreon anymore, but that is a level you can get in on. You can follow at Blessed Podcast on Twitter or at Ignorance is Blessed over on Instagram if you want to see faces for the people you hear from. That's great. That's what that's there for. And I'm going to start trying to share more clips and more quotes and really get active over there as well. So hop on over at Instagram and let's start socializing. Let's put the social in social media. For real, though, it's all I have. Please keep in mind that no guest is or claims to be a representative for every person who has a similar identity. They're just one person sharing their own experience and ideas to help us get a peek at how things look from their situated position in the world. If you have additional questions about any guest or you have a topic you'd like to hear covered, especially if once you know the themes, if the wheels start turning and you're like, you know who would fit this perfectly, hit me up. Do at me, as we said in this episode, at JMS Comedy on Twitter. Tag it in the Instagram is Blessed Instagram comments. But the best way to make sure I see it is to join the Facebook group. Ignorance is hashtag Blessed Idiots. Well, I mean, like, the best way would be Patreon, but I will see all the Facebook posts as well. So get over there. Keep giving suggestions and keep asking questions, because the more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know, and the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening. And thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.